A life viewed from the outside as one of glamour and privilege many times has sadness and dangers existing within it, which result in tragedy. Magnifying that tragedy is the fact that so many, let's call them fans and supporters, watch those lives as they head toward the cliff simply as observers, which in many ways make them enablers. Famous examples, you can go look all the way back to Elvis Presley, more recent Anna Nicole Smith, Whitney Houston, and now Whitney Houston's daughter, Bobby Christina Brown, who died just about a week ago after being found unconscious in the bathroom. My next guest is a pop culture and political commentator who had the opportunity to talk with Bobby Christina, as well as to see some of the dynamics of her life up close, here to look at this life that should have been much happier and the death which was unwarranted, is Lisa Durden. Good morning, Lisa.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Good morning.
And Lisa's website, the obvious, Lisa Durden, DURDEN.com. And
that's correct.
You know, I mentioned Anna Nicole Smith, and, you know, Whitney had her reality show with Bobby Brown, and Bobby Christina had their reality show. It just seems like we become so voyeuristic that we, you know, it's almost like the old axiom, the person that slows down to look at the car crash on the side of the road, and we just let these people drift, and we see, you know, time after time, too many Bobby Christinas.
Yes, we've been seeing Bobby Christina's and Whitney Houston's and Anna Nicole Smith's long before reality show. We have a lot of our stars that have died of drug addiction very early. Kurt Cobain, we didn't have reality shows then.
No.
Janis Joplin, you know, I can name a million, but we don't have time on this radio station. The only difference is we get to see it lived out. If not on a reality show, the media is fast and furious and the paparazzi ain't letting up. So whether there is or isn't a reality show, the issue is deeper than that, and it's become our desensitization to the dangers and the seriousness of drug addiction. It's not cute. I've actually had debates with people about what's the guitarist, the guy, he's a black guy who died at 37 or something young. He's a famous guitarist. I'm getting a brain freeze.
I'm blanking.
Anyway,
Yeah,
I'll think of it in a second. But anyway, many people have said, oh, if it wasn't for the fact that he was high, he wouldn't have been a genius. People actually associate getting high with creativity and being a genius. So that's the kind of the bigger picture when it comes to people who are artists. If your next-door neighbor was a junkie, then you wouldn't think the same thing. So we almost kind of like feel like if they don't do it, there really isn't any entertainment attached to those individuals. That's ridiculous.
But at the same time, and, you know, the Bobby Christina story has the case, too, the enabler, just as so many of these cases do, the agents or the spouses, they see dollars off of the train wreck or the talent that, for whatever reason, more people want to watch crash and burn, and they see that as the way to make money. In Bobby Christina's case, was Nick Gordon that enabler?
Well, I'm going to say yes and no. Both of them were drug addicts. They were enablers to each other. Let's go back a bit. In 2011, I got a chance to talk with both of them very extensively at the actual red carpet screening of the docuseries Houston's On Our Own that was in our Lifetime back in October 2011. And, of course, you know, you don't get to see the other side when you're at an event like that. But I did get to talk extensively to them about her mom's death because it was only months later. And how she feels about going forward and, you know, their relationship. And she appeared to be in very good spirits. She was actually very excited about the reality show or the docuseries because she felt like it would be her chance to tell her story her way rather than the paparazzi and the social media making up things that you know, were not true. And so she was in high spirits, and she actually felt like, you know, my mom will be looking down up there, seeing that I can make it on my own. But I do feel like she really wanted to do that, and I was actually hopeful, and I think we all were. But you know what? Drug addiction is a disease. And so no matter what she felt she wanted to do, there would be no way for her to have been successful at it, looking back on that, to do it without being clean. She didn't do it. And think about it. She had no role model. Both her parents were drug addicts and alcoholics. Where's the role model? So I don't think it's necessarily the entertainment industry. Think about it. Anybody out there listening knows of someone in their family who's addicted or themselves. I dated a junkie for 2 years of my college years, and no matter how much I loved that dude, nothing I said or did got that man off of drugs. I had to leave him. So I don't think that these insiders don't say things to these stars. I do not think that they don't. I think that a lot of people on the inside are users, but not all of them. I don't think these junkies are listening. They're addicts. So I think that there are some people who do love them, maybe managers, maybe, because think about it. If you want someone for their money, why would you want them to die early? You want them to live as long as possible. So I just think that the addiction was stronger than the advice. I'm not saying everyone gave them advice, but I'm thinking somebody inside there couldn't be that cool as to not say, listen, Whitney, or listen, Bobby Christine, or listen, Bobby or Janis Joplin, or all of these people. They just won't listen because the addiction's calling their name. That's it.
Lisa Durden, you see her all over the place in TV and radio talking about everything from politics to pop culture. And you can find out what she has been talking about at Lisa Durden, DURDN.com, the web. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Just to how frightening things become, Lisa, too. And I know people who run an organization called Center for Prevention and Counseling in Northwest New Jersey. Yep. And the programs that had initially been designed to get anti-drug messages to kids in high school, they're now using those very same programs to talk to kids in the fifth and sixth grade. That's how more ingrained that the addiction culture has become. And when you have a Bobby Christine, as you said, her insulation was an addictive environment. So what, you know, what chance did, it's almost like with Michael Jackson, what chance did Michael Jackson ever have for any sort of measurably normal life when from really his first point of awareness, he was stuck into a fantasy world of entertainment.
Yes. Well, let me just answer that first point. When I was in school back in when I first went to school in 1970-something, we were getting what I call drug films in third grade. Because remember, the heroin craze is back again, but it was big in the 70s.
Yeah.
Heroin addiction. So we were in the auditorium watching people on film shooting heroin and throwing up and all of these visuals. I was mortified. But guess what? When we walked out of those films, I mean, the whole school would have to be called down to the auditorium from third grade to eighth grade. And there were people who walked out, sixth graders and eighth graders, that dude was weak. That dude was weak. And they would have a speaker afterwards saying, I was addicted and here's what happened to me. People would still say that this wouldn't happen to me because that person's weak. So you have an arrogance too. And then you have to also include, what kind of home does this person come from? You can show all kinds of drug films at any age. If you are in a home where your parents are addicted, what chance do you have? So the only thing that might have worked for someone like Bobby Christina is if she on her own. Some people are born with their own independent personalities, and they just want to go in the opposite direction of what's negative. But most of us don't have that kind of maverick mentality. She did not have it. That can happen, but it doesn't happen for most of us. So this is something that is, you know, we need to really kind of like open that closet door and tell the real truth, that it starts in the home with parenting and what you have inside the door. And the entertainment business doesn't make it better, because in the entertainment business, people are yesing you to death, not everyone, but people are yesing you to death because they don't want to get fired and they don't want to get you angry. So there is a bit of, I think, that kind of thing going on. It's a debacle all the way around. And when you're talking about rehab, let's be very clear. Rehabilitation is something that's very hard to nail. Back when Whitney Houston was on the Diane Sawyer Show years ago, when she said, crack it whack, she even admitted that back then during that interview that when she went to rehab, the man was mean. That guy was mean. He told me that 95% of the people returned. Well, why would you call a statistic like that mean? He's saying most people don't nail it. When you come in here, you better be serious. I even had a discussion with people after the interview, and one of my friends who never did drugs said that was mean. I said, really? The truth is mean? This is what's wrong with people. They want to kowtow and tiptoe around the toilet on something severe. Drug addiction is mean. Dope is mean. Being a junkie is mean. You're mean to your kids when you can't take care of them. What are people saying here? Oh, Lord. Oh, I can't help myself.
I like your path a lot better than the path of people say, well, it's just recreational drug use.
No. No. Now, listen, I am smart enough and well-read enough to know that everybody who takes drugs doesn't become an addict. But here's what I tell people. How do you know which one you're going to be? The only way to know is to do it. Why risk it? There are people that maybe did. I know one or two friends in college that was doing cocaine, and then when they decided to stop, they stopped and got into corporate America, and they moved on. That was one or two people. I never did recreational drugs because I can't say what was going to happen to me down the road. That's the arrogance of people. So there's a lot going on with that, and people aren't discussing it. You know why? Because it might be your doctor who's a junkie. It might be your neighbor who's a junkie. It might be the teacher who's teaching your children who's a junkie. We don't want to know that our teacher who's teaching our little five-year-old is a junkie. We want to not see it. A lot of people are junkies.
And
it doesn't discriminate.
And a lot of people don't want to look and don't want to know because they don't want to do. And that feeling of not wanting to do when you are looking the way and you look back, that might just be impacting your children and your family and your friends. Isn't it a lot better to make the effort and do as opposed to stand over the coffin and say, you know, I should have done.
Right. And when I was on Kix 11 the other morning and I said, you know, this is a wake-up call to all parents. You know, this Bobby Christina story. Every parent out there who's drug addicted, alcohol addicted, look at what happened to this young woman. She was 22, but this began way back. She lived in this environment for over 14 years, from a child to an adult. So if you are out there listening to this radio show and you know, forget who, if your neighbors know, you know what you're doing, and you know what you're not doing with your child or what image you're portraying in front of them. And if you think your kids don't know your dope scene, think again. They know when you're asleep, they see the paraphernalia laying around. You think that they don't know you're smoking reefer or what they call weed? They see, I'm not going to name names, but I've had a couple of relatives who I was digging in their pocket for change, and I saw empty nickel bags when I was 8 and 12. Yeah. You think an 8-year-old doesn't know what a nickel bag is? Like, really? I have another relative whose name I won't mention. My sister said, oh, her child doesn't know she gets high. Yes, the hell she does. One time, the child slammed the door when she was out on one of those back porches getting high, and she knew she was smoking weed. Your kids know. They know. They know.
And the kids are curious,
so
and when they
get off.
When the kids are curious, they're going to find the stuff. And when they find the stuff, guess what? They're going to try the stuff.
Absolutely. And if you came from a home where your parents drank like I did, we would when they were sleeping. We would nip, nip, nip off of all kinds of stuff. Ooh, here's a little wine. Nip, nip, nip. We nip. So if you have drug addiction in the family, they're going to nip off of whatever little powder left on the table. I mean, I don't know. You know, or, you know, a little roach left over from the joint you smoke. They're going to test it out. And let's be real. My parents, who I guess if they were raising children, so they would be arrested, but they would give us alcohol. Not like we couldn't sit there and get drunk, but they would, if we would say, Mommy, can I have a taste? They would give us a little taste of wine, a little taste of beer, and they thought it was cute. I'm sure drug addicts do the same thing. Here's a little pull from a joint. Here's a little taste of cocaine. It's just what people do. I say it's time to stop. It's a disaster. It never ends well, as we can see with Bobby Christina. And everyone doesn't have the same tragic ending, but it doesn't end well, even if it means your child is in and out of rehab, or they can't keep a job, or they dropped out of college, and all of these kinds of things. And it goes back to you. So for those parents who are on drugs, you know, it's hard to nail it, but you got to start somewhere. And for those parents whose head is in the ground and you don't do drugs but you don't think your kids are, get your head out of the ground because some kids are doing it. And don't think, oh, my child's a cheerleader and my daughter is getting a 4.0 average and she's, you know, on the whatever. And, you know, and my son is blah, blah, blah. And, you know, no. When you start seeing certain behaviors, I would, and kids want privacy. Ain't no privacy in my house if I had children. I'm snooping, and I'm busting in your room, and I'm looking through things and ripping open every drawer known to man. So if you get angry, you got to move out.
Well, here's the thing. I mentioned Center for Prevention and Counseling in Northwest New Jersey. Each and every county, each and every community, each and every city has outlets and resources for knowledge, for education, information, and rehabilitation. It might not be a home run the first time you hit the bat to the ball, but you keep going back up to the plate, take more swings at the pitches, and you will be able to make the escape from the darkness and the kidnapping of your body and your soul and your spirit that drugs and alcohol take away from you. And as a parent, it's your responsibility to do. Not to be a friend to your kid, to be a parent to your kid. Yeah,
absolutely.
They're going to get mad at you. Guess what? They're going to get mad at you for something else if you don't want to buy them the next
absolutely.
iPhone that comes out. So,
and I, you know, there's this phrase that I've heard all my life. You know, love conquers all. I guess now we know better, right? Love does not conquer all. Because if love conquered all, and it was as simple as just love, then the love for Bobby Christina would have conquered the drug addiction, and it didn't. If love conquers all, people wouldn't abuse their children that they love. So, no, love is not something that conquers all. What we have to do is conquer things ourselves, not lay around and think about these little happy-go-lucky phrases that have no validity to them. That's a disaster. Love doesn't conquer anything. What you've got to do is conquer things yourself and not lay on, but I love you. But love is not going to save that child. It takes more than love to be a good parent, way more than love to be a good parent. That's the point. If love was it, we could all be good parents, because all parents love their kids, I'm guessing.
But
it's not as simple as.
But no, sometimes,
you know what I mean?
Sometimes that confrontation is what's needed to bring about the honesty and the realization.
Absolutely. So. And that's the thing that people don't want. People don't want to really tell the truth, because once you tell the truth, then you have to do something about it. And you know what? Sometimes you may lose a friend or a family member, and then they just have to go. But I'm going to let you know, if I see something happening, whether it be a loved one, a family member, not somebody I would date, because I'm not dating a drug addict ever again in life, but I let the person know when I was dating him, I shall call him Summit. I told Summit, you know, you're an addict. And, of course, he got angry and we had problems, but I had to move on, because if you don't see what I see, I've got to go. And they will never tell you they agree while they're in the throes of their addiction. They're in denial. Why would they admit that? And the way I see it, whether it be a rich person or a poor person, all kinds of folks take drugs and become addicted to drugs. Don't enable. Put those fools on the brick. If you are a parent and your child's on drugs, they've got to go. If it's a minor child, you put them in rehab. If it's an adult child, they've got let the doorknob hit them where the good Lord split them. When they're in the street and they can't feed themselves and they can't house themselves and they can't clothe themselves, they might run up in a rehab real quick. And rehabs ain't cute. Rehabs aren't going to sit there and soothe your ego. Ooh, 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 ooh. No, that's why Whitney Houston said, that man was mean. No, he wasn't mean.
Trying to save your life.
The 12-step program has been around since, what, the 1940s? I forgot the exact date.
Yep.
But it's been around for a long time. They are the foremost authorities on that. So if you go to a 12-step program, there's no mistaking in their success rate. And they know that 95% of you will end up back here again. That means only 5% of you will nail this rehab, be in the 5 percentile. And she said it was mean. When she said that, I said, I was watching the show, I said, she ain't ready yet. She ain't ready yet.
We got to wrap things up here. I want to have Lisa on to talk about this, because the death of Bobby Christina Brown, as was the death of Whitney Houston, was pretty much looked at as tabloid fodder and the voyeuristic
right.
in all of us. Whether you want to be honest about it or not, you listening, you're a voyeur when it comes down to the amount of time and the attention you spend to the sensational side. But what Lisa, as you just heard, brings about is the realism of these lives,
yes.
their ends, and what's life lessons come from these tragedies,
yes.
as opposed
yes.
to the all and then turn to the page and see what's happening next with Angelina Jolie or, you know, whatever.
Right.
Whatever
right.
the Kardashians are doing this week, like anyone should really care or not. But
right.
be that as it may, when you see these tragedies, use them as a catalyst to look at the life around you and say, is any of
Absolutely.
This around me, in me, and is there something I could do to kick it out from around me and within me? And to find out more about Lisa, her passion, she is a passionate person, in case you haven't figured that out by now, and about what she what she talks about and what she cares about, and hopefully makes you care about as well. LisaDurden.com is D-U-R-D-E-N. Lisa, it is the passion that is provides the positive confrontation, as I like to call
uh-huh.
it, and that does bring about a greater realization of what we're supposed to be doing with our lives, as well as helping
yeah.
others. Thanks for being here and helping us remember that part.
Oh, thank you so much, and I hope people can, you know, take this conversation and apply it to what's happening in their world and to make it better. I mean, you know, you always have, if you wake up tomorrow, you always have tomorrow, as they say. I'm a believer in that. Thank you for having me.